Right. Welcome, welcome everybody to the Smash Controllers Podcast. We are here with a very special guest today. It's Average Joe, everybody,
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Joe? How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. Just it's that last crunch just before release. Got my game, The Edge of Allegoria, coming out on December 4th. So it's that last kind of scramble to make sure nothing's broken before it releases.
Okay. How, before we get started, let me grab my notebook because I have questions. I have questions that need to be asked
Not a
because
problem,
I've been saving them. I've been waiting for this moment.
man.
That's my note, where I put my notebook, actually. It is in one of these. I'm so unprepared. There it is. Got it. Okay. Because we met at
We
DreamHack
did.
Atlanta. What brought you to DreamHack Atlanta? Have you ever been here before or?
So I actually it's kind of like there's a whole story to it. I it was last summer, like not this past summer, but like summer 2023, I submitted my demo for The Edge of Allegoria to their like DreamHack Beyond Steam event. And that was like super awesome, like really great like visibility for the game. It was great. And then I got an email when that ended, just inviting developers to apply to inviting developers to apply to go to DreamHack Atlanta like in person. So I filled out the application, submitted my thing. A couple weeks later, I got an email saying, sorry, we don't want you. A little bit more, tactful than that. But it was like, yeah, not now. Maybe try again in the future. And then it was like a month or so later, I got another email saying, hey, someone dropped out. Are you still interested in coming? So if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have gone to my first DreamHack in December of 2023. I was like, I gotta pull all the stops for this one. I gotta just like, I got in as a like from a wait list, so I gotta really bring it and show them what they would have missed if they had not brought me in. And I actually ended up winning the Audience Choice Award for that one. And then, of course, making friends. I love making friends. And the organizers are just amazing, amazing people. Shout out to Jules and Lindsay, if you're out there. They invited me back for like I applied for the last one that we were just at, and they were like, yeah, like no question, of course you're in. Like hell yeah, we love you. It's awesome.
Please come back.
And it was great because I brought my dad the first time. Like he's not into video games at all. But I was like, it'll be a fun, it'll be a road trip. Like, father son road trip. We drove down because I'm up in Canada, so it's like an 18 hour car ride. And then when I told him that, the applications opened up for another one, he was like already on his phone, like checking hotels, like planning out the route again. Like he was like, all right, we're going again. This is gonna be
He was
great.
ready.
Yeah. It was awesome. It like I love DreamHack. The people are amazing. Timing this year was a little bit, there's nothing you could do. You can't stop a hurricane. But I mean, all things considered, it was a fantastic show. Like the DreamHack team did a phenomenal job. Everything was top tier, as always. It was great.
This was actually my first time going, so I was like, I'm gonna make the most of it while I'm
I
there.
mean, dude, they had like the Lego, they had the big Lego thing right in the middle. Like that was so sick. And they like the shows on the stage this time, like they really just went the extra mile. Like it's getting bigger and bigger. I can't wait to see what they do next.
I was a quick side note. I went 3-0 in Marvel versus
Capcom. Right on, right on.
But tell me about your game. Tell me what, like, from the start till now, like what sparked the idea, like, I want to make this. This is, I'm doing this.
Well, okay, so before the Edge of Allegoria, I was working on a similar, not really similar. I was working on a game with a guy that I was, like a coworker at my old day job. Like he was doing the writing, and I was doing like all the art and music and programming and everything like that. So it's like we were working together, bringing a story to life, and then just sort of creative differences, the sort of the motivational differences. Like I was really, really passionate about making games, and he was kind of he likes writing stories, but it was like it's just sort of like okay, like this isn't like you're a bit much, man. Like chill out. It's just
Oh,
a
you're like,
video
this is
game,
my life, and he was like, hey
and I'm
man,
like,
I'm
this
just
is what I want to
here.
do. Like yeah. So that kind of ended up falling apart eventually, and I went on to do like some game jam games and just to try out like different styles and stuff like that. Like I've been making games for years and years and years as a hobby. I was just trying to get my feet wet and figure out what I wanted to do. And at the same time, I started doing like a pixel art account on Instagram. So while I was doing that, I was experimenting with some different color palettes, just trying my hand at some pixel art, doing that sort of thing. And I ended up posting a mock-up of a battle scene where a goblin is fighting the fisherman character, and the sprites have like barely changed from that original post. But I did this like post, and it was like, oh shit, there's a goblin, I'm gonna fucking die. And it got like 12 likes, and my usual was like 6 at the time. So I was like, all right, this is my life now. And like my original plan was to make a farming simulator. I saw the popularity. I saw, Stardew Valley,
I was just
games like
thinking that.
Terraria. I was like Harvest Moon. I wanted to do like a Harvest Moon, but I also wanted to do like the adult kind of angle, the more
Got you.
mature with the swearing, and maybe there are different kinds of farms that you're growing there. That was kind of the vibe I was going with. And then when I posted that picture, people were like, do that. I was like, okay. And now here we are, like 3.5 years later. It's a full ass RPG. It's great.
So you did everything by yourself, or is it a team, or?
Everything has been 100%, like, well, 99% solo. I did have a little bit of help from my Discord. They've been absolutely wonderful. Like playtesting the demo before it was released, helping me out with just like offering ideas for features, just like quality of life things. A buddy of mine, who's also making a game, helped me come up with the status effect combo system that's in the game, and it kind of just like built from there. So it's like I've had some. I take the criticisms and I kind of make them my own.
Yeah, make it
I'm a
work for
very
you.
stubborn person, so it's like you. People have to make it seem like it's my idea for me to be like, yeah, okay, that's a great idea. But then, eventually I'll come around and make it a little bit more, I'll make it happen. So that's kind of, it's mostly me, but I can't take all the credit because just I've had so much support and so much help from, people on social media. My Discord has been enormously helpful. Kickstarter backers as well. I had a Kickstarter back in February, there were a few tiers where people could help design weapons or quests or dungeons and things like that. So I was working with them. There's a few levels in there that I've been working with some other people to design those. It's been, but other than that, it's like solo.
What kind of like challenges like have you faced making your own game? 'Cause I know personally, I was like, I want to have some part in making a game at some point, whether it's a character design, a voice act, a line, just to have my name in the credits
Right,
somewhere.
right,
But you
right.
did it, 99.9% of by yourself for the most part. So it's like, what kind of challenges did you face doing like creating it? Because you did it from the ground up, you know?
I mean, you name it, man. I have faced every possible like problem that you could probably encounter when making a game. The biggest, I think, for me at this point is it's just getting the feel right, getting the balancing correct, because I've played this game for thousands of hours at this point. Like, I know every little detail, so I can't really it's I can try, but it's really hard for me to get in the mindset of somebody who doesn't understand the mechanics and doesn't understand how like the combo systems work. And it seems easy for me, but then when someone else plays it, they might not necessarily know what's going on. So part of it was like the just like even like writing a tutorial or sort of tutorial through the dialogue of the characters, it's just explaining the game to people was kind of tricky for me because I know it inside and out. So now I'm like going through, it's like, did I forget to remind people like you can press this button to do this thing and you can string your attacks together to do the combos? Also, writing was, I think, throughout the whole thing, coming up with a story was the hardest thing for me. As I mentioned, like just before, I was working on a game with someone else before this, and he was doing all the writing, because the writing is actually something that I am super self-conscious about and I'm really uncomfortable doing. I have never thought that I was a good writer. Didn't think I could come up with cool stories. So doing the writing for this has always been a challenge, to find something. But I kind of at one point I decided I'd read something. It was like, write what you know or whatever. And that was like, okay, I'm just going to stop caring about what I write or how I write. And I'm just going to write how I speak. I'm going to write how the people that I talk to speak. I'm just going to write like everyone I've ever met speaks, because it's all dialogue, right? It's like, I've worked in like grocery stores. I've worked for customer service, like call centers and stuff like that. I've talked with hundreds of thousands of people over the years, and I just like I know how people speak to each other, and it's not always nice, unfortunately. So it's like maybe it's a little like all of those years working in customer service that are coming out, and that's why it's so like vulgar and crude, is just like, this is what I've been talked at like for all this time, and now I'm like, okay, now I can talk to the world like this. It's
That's part of
actually,
the charm. That's part of the charm, though.
well, yeah, and that's something that like there are mixed reactions to it. Like, my kind of people enjoy my writing. I mean, obviously it's like, if you like my game, I like you. But like there have been some people that are like, this is too much. You're like, it's super cringy. You're trying to be edgy. And it's like, maybe you're just not reading it the way that it's intended. It's like, it's really hard to communicate a tone and a way of speaking when it's just text. And I kind of painted myself into a corner with the whole Game Boy thing, because it imposed a lot of arbitrary limitations on the game that I might not have had if had I chosen to do something like the 2D, HD 2D kind of, the popular kind of pixel art style that's happening right now. I chose to go way back and have all the sounds and all the art and everything. But in doing that and trying to stay authentic to that style, it kind of cut off my ability to add that more contextual flair to it, to make it seem more palatable to some people that may not necessarily enjoy the crude humor or the over the top kind of situations that the characters are in.
Yeah, I know. It could. I know probably for some, it messes with the nostalgia of what they know. You know, like they see this, they go back to a certain time for them. So you see the main character getting cussed out. You're just like, this might be a little too much for me, but I loved
Yeah.
it.
That why I mean, like, part of it was like when I sort of like I a lot of it's like going back into my own memories and my own experiences to pull out things. And I just remember like I made a lot of bad choices as a teenager, and I ended up in a lot of very questionable situations with a lot of very unsavory people around me. So it's like I've been in that sort of thing, and it's like it's hard when there are people that have never experienced that sort of thing to kind of see it and understand it. But I also know that we live in a society, so there are lots of people out there that have been through some shit,
For
and they're going to be
sure.
like, this is my kind of game.
Yeah. 'Cause I saw it, and once I like when I got the first real line, I was like, oh yeah, this is right up my alley. Because it just I love regular games, you know, regular dialogue, but when you get like sprinkles of it feels like real life in it, like this could be a real dialogue in real life if this were like to happen, I'm okay with that. And the NPCs are like some of my favorite because like some of the stuff they say is just so random. Like, why would he say that? Like, or how they'll just it just everybody feels like their own person. Like, it's not like I'm gonna talk to him and he'd be like, go to the shop. And I talk to him, go to the shop. Hey, did you go to the shop? And it's like, no, it's like everybody feels authentic. Like, this could be somebody out in real life. Like,
Well, and what was interesting about the writing process was actually I would try as I was writing these characters to put myself into the head of these characters to try to make it more believable and force myself to kind of feel the emotions, even though I may not necessarily have experienced them to that degree in some cases. But it's just trying to empathize with someone in that situation and like, how would they react? How would they feel if, you know, I'm just going to take an example, the mom in the town in the demo. If ever anybody who's played the demo knows who that mom in the town is. And it was just like, how would I feel if I was in that situation? What, like, trying to put myself into that. And there's also like some bigger issues in that I'm trying to kind of bring to the awareness too, as well, as much as people disagree with that kind of work. That's, you know, that's what people do. And there's lots of different, there's not like regulations or protections or things in place for, you know, people in that line of work. And that's a problem. You know, I mean, if you didn't have to do that sort of thing, might be better. But if someone chooses to do that, they shouldn't have to worry about their safety and that sort of thing. So, there's, you know, I'm trying to bring in some real life issues as well and kind of cover those, but in a way that's not like in your face and it's not like trying to ham fist it in and force it down your throat. I'm trying to just be like, this is just the world that everybody lives in and take from it what you will, kind of thing.
I got that feeling, like talking to that person and kind of doing that quest. I was like, it was like when you first do it, it's like a shock, like, oh my God. But then like as you go forward, you're like, oh, okay. You know, like getting their side and seeing how everybody else sees them. And it's just kind of like, oh wow. Then after completing the quest, seeing everybody kind of their kind of mental change or whatever, like, all right, I like that.
And that's sort of something that I took with the story progression of the entire game. It starts out very in your face, very much a like it's just hitting you with everything and kind of the objective was more to desensitize you a little bit to it. It's just like sort of you're in this world now, and this is just what the world is like. But as you kind of progress past where the demo is, and everybody's going to see it in the full game, it kind of tapers off a little bit, and the direction kind of changes. It's a slow burn, I think. That's the best way to describe it. Is it's not in your face all the time. It but the tone like and the tone kind of sh it shifts. So it's an interesting story. I mean, I'm biased, obviously. I'm the one who made it, so I'm proud of my work. But it going into the demo and then going into the full version, like, you still have to kind of keep that expect the unexpected, because things take a whole other turn
I believe it. I
once you get a
believe
little deeper.
it. I believe it. So like when what went into the sound design and music? 'Cause it's like was like everything just like I wanted to sound like this, or did you have like a vision in your head for like if I'm walking through the forest, it's supposed to sound like this? 'Cause
The sound design, that one. So I always wanted, like, I always wanted to be a musician. I learned to play guitar as a kid. It was like my life growing up, all through my whole life, just playing guitar all the time, making music. Like, I wanted to be a rock star one day. Never gonna happen. But the one of my like fallback things was, maybe I'll try to make music for video games. And then I realized how difficult it was to get a job making music for video games, and was like, screw this, I'm just gonna make my own video game, and then I'll be able to say I made music for video games.
I mean, that counts. That counts.
Ignoring the rest of the video game that I made. It's like, no, look, I made the music. But actually, this is the music for this game was extremely hard for me, because I've experimented with chip tune and the Game Boy kind of sound s style a little bit, but never really made it a focus of mine. So it was a real challenge to come up with how the game was going to sound. And honestly, if there was something that I had more time to work on, the music would probably be it. Now, that being said, it does do some interesting things with the music. Like, when you get a different all the different status effects, the music actually shifts. So there's six status effects in the game, and then the normal status. So seven different kind of like status effects, but more, for lack of a better word. But that means that there are seven versions of every music track. Like, they're all every track has been remixed seven times so that they reflect the different status effects. And that's kind of what I the more I've more focused on the instruments and the composition of the sound itself, rather than the melodies and things like that with the music. That's what I would have spent a little bit more time on. But the
Got you.
focus on the music sounding different to go along with the different status effects and convey that feeling. Like, with the bleeding status effect, everything kind of gets like a little bit of a darker, kind of ominous sound to it, and it kind of builds a little bit of anxiety while you're doing it. And then, like, the madness effect, when the screen's all crazy and the music sounds all loopy, it's kind of just give that playful but kind of weird sound to it. So I was more focused on using the sound as a tool for immersion, rather than having, some kind of memorable track, or something that's gonna win an award one day. I just wanted it
Got you.
as a tool to bring people in deeper.
Got you. 'Cause it's I kind of picked up on that a little bit, like just kind of alongside the visuals of the status effect, and it's just I was wondering how difficult that might have been because I'm not really deep into music, but I do love a good sound design. I do love a good visual. And when they go hand in hand, it just does something for me. So I was like, I like That was like a really nice touch.
I've always kind of looked at music and sound maybe a little bit differently than people normally would, like, 'cause I've never been formally trained in any, I mean, other than taking some classes in high school. Like, I didn't go to some college or university or anything for that sort of thing, so I don't know all the terminology and strategies for composition and all that stuff. I just kind of go on vibes, and I try to feel my way through the sound, if that makes sense.
Oh, it
Like,
does. It does.
so
That's all you need sometimes.
that was kind of, yeah, it was just sort of experimenting with the different sounds. You know, I'll pull up an instrument and be like, how does this work? Maybe not. Maybe try this one. Okay, that one fucking slaps. Let's go with that. And then, yeah.
Okay. When how do you like when you're I know when you're making a game, you have to get people to play test it. You have to get people to kind of stick around long enough to give you a decent opinion of it. How do you kind of keep them immersed in the game? Like, what were some things you probably put in place, whether it's the dialogue, the direction, the art, the music? Like, how did you keep, or how did you try to ensure people made it to the end of the demo, or enjoyed their playthrough, or will
That
enjoy their playthrough going forward?
well that that kind of like I'm really leaning heavy on the nostalgia as just a way to kind of keep people playing. But like my I think the thing that I just immediately went to was exploration and having a decent gameplay loop that works to kind of keep your momentum going. I've momentum has been a big thing for me, just for my whole design philosophy for this game, is to just keep the movement going. Because I know that turn-based RPGs can be really, really fucking slow sometimes. And I mean, even this game, it's a slow burn, so you're not gonna get into like the real shit until maybe if you're halfway through, and then it's like, oh, okay, this is what's going on now.
Got you.
But having that momentum of like you get your first item, your first equipment in the first town, and then you leave, and your first battle, you immediately master something, you immediately level up. So you get that, okay, ba-da-da, you're good. You've got all these like flashing lights and these sound effects going off. Time to go. And then you want to get to the next thing, and then in the next town, you've got some money, so you buy up some stuff, and then you've got kind of got that seed planted of I need to find weapons and master them. And then as you go, you'll discover that, there's healing items all over the place. You get into the dungeon, you're collecting weapons in there. And you kind of just, if you're not finding a weapon, and then you're leveling up. And if you're not leveling up, you're mastering a weapon. And if you're not mastering a weapon, you're discovering a secret. And it's just always giving the player something to do, or some objective, or some kind of thing to focus on. And it keeps people engaged. That being said, this whole game has never been a game that I've tried to make marketable to a wide group of people. I am the first to admit this is a very niche title. At least in my opinion, that's all it was intended to be. I wanted to make, first and foremost, I wanted to make a game for myself. This is the kind of game that I wanted to play. There is nobody more excited to play this game when it's done than I am, because it's the game that I am my target audience. And if anybody else likes it, that's just a bonus for me. So I think is just maybe I have good taste. I don't know.
I can see it because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it the whole way. Like even like I said, the little details from the sound to the art to the dialogue, the NPCs. I even enjoyed a little bit of a spoiler. I even enjoyed my neighbor being a hater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad your house blew up. I was like, you know what? We Like they need to be like a option
I did
to
put
slap or something.
a lot of like I did put a lot of like little details into the game that just I used to watch a lot of Easter eggs in video game videos.
Oh
My
yeah.
son got really into that on YouTube. So that was something like we would do like Saturday morning. We'd, put on YouTube and then we'd be like Easter eggs in Mario 64 or, hidden messages found in these RPGs, top 10 whatevers. And I was like, so that's just like ingrained in my brain as you have to have those in video games. Like you can't make a video game without putting those in there. So I've always I wanted to fill it up as well with a bunch of like references, and there's lore everywhere. Like you go and read any bookshelf in the world and there's something on it. You can talk to a sink and it's like, why are you talking to a sink? So like I wanted to fill the world with flavor, basically. You can't just, throw chicken in a pan and be like, here you go, here's your food. You gotta have that seasoning on it or
For
nobody's gonna
sure.
like it.
For sure. Now, because okay, hold on. I got one question I really wanted to ask you. Hold on, hold on,
Yeah,
hold
man,
on,
yeah.
hold on, hold on. I know it's a little early. I know, we're still waiting on the release of the game, but how do you feel about DLC and like extended content for this game going forward? Is it like is the game like something you would want to build on, or is it like this is it, this is standalone, and maybe I'll think about a part two? I know it's early,
Well, okay, so I mean, first off, the full game is 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 hours
but
long, depending on how much you like to explore and how much content you want to try and find. Like it took me, in order to 100% the game, get all the achievements, everything like that, it took me 35 hours, and I am a completionist. So take from that what you will. Like I know where all the secrets are. I know where to find the enemies to complete the quests and do all that. So I was cheating and it took me 35 hours.
No
So
speed runners.
hey, I mean, if someone could speed run it, then I would love to see that. That'd be super, super fucking cool. But as for DLC, I never say never. Like there are,
Got you.
I built a world and that world has a history and I've got ideas. I've got lots of ideas. DLC, sequel, prequel, who knows?
Got you. How like is it difficult? 'Cause I know you said you're a father. I am too, but is it difficult like balancing like family life and work? How did you make that? Like, was it like, hey, all right, you gotta go to bed early, we working extra late, or
Yeah, there that like 'cause I'm like I got a full-time job too that I work during the day. So, like when I first started the making the game, it was 2021. So still in the middle of the pandemic.
Got you.
Thankfully, I think the kids were going back to school. I actually started development 5 days after my wife and I got married. So
Congratulations.
thank you. I mean, it's 3.5 years, but I'll take it. I think they started back up school in person in the September afterwards. So it was easier. I can't really remember if they were back at home at any of the part. That was rough. I just having flashbacks now. That homeschool thing during the pandemic was, I am not a teacher. I don't know how they do it, and they deserve to be paid more.
I feel you.
But with like, I would get up when I first started making the game, I would get up like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and get a couple hours in before I had to start work. And I work from home, so I'd have my laptop next to my work computer, and like 9 o'clock would roll around, I'd just shift my focus to my day job, and then I'd, hit my break for lunch or whatever, and then like back on the game, and then turn back over, and then like 5 o'clock was like my cutoff, and then it's like, okay, 5 o'clock, family time, hanging out, have dinner, do all that stuff, then put the kids to bed, and then it's back to working on the game, and then just, taking every second that I can. I've probably spent way too much time, like trying to figure out my time. Like it's just because it's such a struggle to balance everything. And there are days where it's just like, you know what? I'm not gonna work on the game at all. I need to just escape from all of that and spend time with the family. And it's always good. And my wife will be like, you put it down. We're going to my parents' house. We're gonna have a nice dinner. We're gonna hang out with the family. It's gonna be great. And it's like, okay, I need this. And like, I'm like in the middle of something. I'm like, I don't want to put it down. I'm almost done. And she's like, no, you need to stop. Like my wife has been extremely helpful,
That's great.
throughout this whole thing, just keeping me kind of level and helping me to balance everything. There's been a few times where I've kind of let things slide because I've been just so obsessed with getting this thing finished that, it's like maybe the dishes have been piling up for a couple days and
I
she's like, hey, come on, man, like get
understand
your shit together.
that.
Like, but I'm hoping that once the game is released and it's out there, then things can really sort of start to balance out. And then if another game is on the horizon, I'm hoping that like I'll have the ability to kind of focus my time more in a more organized way so that I'm not kind of making sacrifices or having to sacrifice too much here and there. And it can be a little bit smoother next time.
So, all right. How do you is this only gonna be for Steam, or is it like PlayStation, X, different consoles?
So for right now, it's definitely just Steam. I've been trying to get it onto the other platforms. There's so much extra stuff that goes into the console releases. And with this being my first commercial game, I haven't really got the know-how to make it happen smoothly. That being said, I do have a publisher that is able to, they know their people, they know their stuff, they're going to be able to help me out. So fingers crossed, if the Steam release goes well, then we'll start looking at, okay, what can we do next? Can we go to maybe go on the Switch? Maybe we can go on the Xbox. Maybe we can do PlayStation. Xbox and PlayStation, the content-wise, it seems more fitting to be there. I'm not sure how Nintendo's going to feel about how many F-bombs I drop on a regular basis. But mobile, who knows? Sky's the limit.
Yeah, I
Once this game's
understand.
kind of out there and we know what the response is, then we'll go from there.
I was supposed to ask, it's my first episode, but this
Hey, no worries, man.
I wanted to start you off with this question, but I was so hyped. It's a little off topic, but what's your first video game memory where you're like, all right, you remember playing the game, and what's your first game to make you rage quit?
To make me rage quit. I mean, my first, I had a temper as a child. I think we got a my first console was the NES. It was in the 90s, so it had been out for a while. And a friend of my mom's, her kids had grown up and moved out, and they left their Nintendo at her house, and she was like, nobody here plays it. You've got kids. Do you want it? So my mom's like, yeah, sure. We'll hook it up. Fucking the original Super Mario Bros. Was like, and I was like, I don't know. I was like six, seven, like at the time. So everything was super frustrating. And having never played video games ever before, it was just like the hand-eye coordination still wasn't like developed yet. So I got pissed off.
Understood.
And then, playing Duck Hunt, and like because it was the like the original cartridge where it was like the Super Mario Bros. And then the Duck Hunt split, right? And that fucking dog, I swear to God, every time. That's probably like I don't know if like rage quitting. It
Close
was
enough.
definitely a rage quit. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, man. I remember playing I remember playing Super Mario on the NES, but I vividly remember Super Mario World on Super Nintendo, and I just, like you said, hand-eye coordination wasn't there.
Yep.
I can fly through maybe level 1 through 3, but I get to that fourth one, I trouble.
Now,
But
most recent Black Myth Wukong. Holy
okay.
fuck. Like, it brought me right back to when I still hadn't developed hand-eye coordination yet. Now I'm just like, holy shit, am I 6 years old again? Like, why isn't it doing what I want it to do? Oh, man. That game's incredible. Just,
I gotta
I gotta
play it.
say.
It's my backlog is so long. Oh my God.
It was
It's
that one and Elden Ring. Elden Ring is just like masterpiece. Absolutely gorgeous game. Phenomenal. Like I wish I could make a game like that one day. But holy shit, is it frustrating.
Oh yeah. I've seen it, and I'm tight to watch the rage. I see the rage, I'm like, there it is. That's what I was looking for. But just to get back on topic, would you say, what's your favorite genre of game? Is it RPGs?
Yeah, it's
So
got like
okay.
it's the progression and like
Yeah.
the development and like the worlds and like the epic stories. Like I love to have just this huge lore to kind of discover and this big story to experience as it unfolds before me. I think definitely it's got to be RPGs, but like any game really with an RPG element, like anything can be an RPG. Like I know there are like even some like Metroidvanias have like that progression, like skill tree systems, things like that. Like I love collectibles and like skill trees and planning and strategy and that sort of thing. Like there I've played a lot like a lot of roguelikes, or like they've got that like how you upgrade your character before you go in for your next run. Like I love that sort of thing.
So how did you do I know how did you balance your game? Like, 'cause I know I ran into a few enemies, maybe one or two, where it's like maybe they did they I don't know if they went first, but they had like a two hit, and it's like, oh, I either like if I hit again, I'm done, or I need to heal. Like, how did you go about implementing that? Like, you know, because
So
go ahead, I'm sorry.
that was the it's actually okay. So I got COVID back like it was 2023, I think. And I took time off work to be sick. But I was like, all right, I got time off work. Like in my fever delusion, was like, I got time off work. I can work on my game. And that was when I made all of the stats and all of the everything for all the enemies and all of the weapons and everything like that. Like all the numbers were done while I was in the middle of COVID fever fugue. So I don't actually really know how I balanced it, because it just kind of happened and I was like, this is fantastic, this is great. Meanwhile, like my face is melting off, but coughing up a storm. So like part of it, part of it, I like I have made some adjustments here and there. Like obviously the first is ne it's never going to be the first thing. But there are some things from that I left that's just like, you know what? I'm going to leave that in there because it's part of the story of
Okay.
development. It's just like,
Yeah.
I was out of my mind sick and thought this was a good idea. And you know what? Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Let's roll the dice on that because it's just a stupid, funny thing. And really, like with the, what I did for the weapon mastery system. So in order to level up and master and everything like that, like you have to collect and master weapons
Yeah.
and armor in order to get stronger. So what I did was I took all of the weapon stats and the base stats of the character, and I ran it through the calculations so that the total for all of your stats at level 100 would be 420. That was the that it was like I was like, I'm fucking genius. This is gonna be so funny. And then I took that, like all the total stats that I would need and divided it up amongst all the weapons. And that became what it was. And then I started adding more weapons to it so you can get stronger than that. And then I removed the level cap so you can go higher than level 100. So it started as a joke and then it built from there and then it turned into what it is now. And then like just playing it over and over and over again to try and get the feel. And I like there is a strategy to it. So like learning the combos, taking advantage of some of the attacks like guard. Like I just watched a YouTube video. There was a guy playing through and he was in a boss battle and he didn't bring guard to battle at all. And I was like, man, oh no, like it's gonna be so much harder now. Like there's definitely moves in the game
Oh
that
yeah.
make it easier for
Oh
you. And it's like
yeah,
just
I found that
like
out quick.
that and there's like this there's these arguments online about like how to play video games and if you like use a certain build or something, then you're cheating or whatever. But it's like it's in the game for a reason. Like
Yeah.
that's the point of the game. Like it,
True,
if you
true, true.
like being a masochist, go for it, man. Like
Right.
I'm not one to judge, but I gave you tools, use them.
Right. No, because I know early on I don't want to say I went the wrong way, but I think I went the wrong way and I ran into an enemy I was not ready for. It's
If you went like you beat that first dungeon and you went back to the town and went to the right where the dog was, yeah, that was intentional. That was intentional.
I was like,
I
oh
wanted you to
God.
be like, okay, I'm gonna go in this area, it's gonna be great. And then it's like, oh shit, no,
Oh
maybe
yeah.
that's the wrong way.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah. I found out
I'm
quick.
a bit of a troll
Now
sometimes.
it was perfect because I was like, I have no business over here. They got me out of there quick. I had to get the dog
But
to
it gets
drag
you
me to
thinking,
safety.
right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's like where to next? What this is clearly not where I'm supposed to be. What's the next move, right?
It's just and it's just some of the attacks. Some of the attacks and some of the graphics, I was like, my guy is crazy. I wonder what he was thinking when he was like, if you know when you see this attack or when you see this move or, and I was like, but it was a great time from start to finish. I enjoyed it so much. Like I
That's really good to hear, man.
Like when I got when I when I got to the end of the demo, I was a little bit sad because I was like, oh man, I was really starting to get into it. I was like, all right, just gotta wait till the full game at this point.
That's the plan, though. Gotta
Oh
keep you wanting more,
yeah.
right?
So just to kind of circle back around, when what like why this game? Why this name? Why this style? Like, was it was just time for you to put it out, or what, you know?
Yeah, like I really liked the Game Boy aesthetic. And one thing I really enjoyed, one thing that I've always enjoyed is having limitations, like setting self-imposed arbitrary limitations on yourself is a great way to just foster creativity. You have to challenge yourself to think outside of the box. And like limiting myself to only four colors, it really forced me to be strategic with the character designs. Having that Game Boy kind of feel, limiting the screen size, making sure like the text is like you only have a certain amount of space for text, and doing that sort of thing, like it really forced me to kind of think outside of the box and like how can I make this work for a more modern thing? And I love a challenge like that. So that really kind of motivated me to push forward with this. And I mean, the fact that I, people seemed to respond to it on social media was, it was helpful. I did kind of have the intention to make a game like this, but that was just sort of like my validation. Like that
Got you.
just, this is, people are going to like it if you do this, so keep doing it. And that was kind of, it went from there.
Got you. Was green like a strategic choice, or was it just like the easiest choice, or?
So green's my favorite color.
Hey, me
So that
too.
helps. That definitely helps. If it was any other color, I probably would have stopped making this game a while ago, 'cause I'm starting to get sick of it at this point. It's been all green for the past 3.5 years.
Got you.
But the green, there's some deeper stuff to it. Green is the fourth color in the rainbow. It's also the, so I took that, four is my favorite number.
Got you.
The game's releasing on December 4th. In the it's the C major scale. F is the fourth note, and all of the music is done in the key of F. Like there's a lot of like that, like super weird. Like this guy's like maybe he's crazy or maybe he's a genius kind of choices happening in there. Like I did a lot of like really weird things that nobody would get, to kind of give it that extra shine, put my own little spin on it. So that's kind of where the like the green, it fits with all of these other things and it all
Got
came
you.
together and it just became what it is.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay, because you just piqued my interest in that. What other kind of nuggets are, that you kind of put in there that most people probably won't pick up on, that you want to share? Because I know you might want people to figure out some.
Like the drowsiness effect, like when you're afflicted with the drowsiness status effect, the way that I changed the color with that one was, I took out, I lowered the blue in the colors, because you've got like the RGB. I turned down the B, because on your phone or on a lot of screens, there's like the night mode or the blue light filter that comes and it reduces the blue light. And I actually, when I was having people test it out with the new color changes, there was a guy that was playing. He's like, I started feeling sleepy because it made me feel like my screen was going into that night mode that turns on automatically at the end of the day. So there's some little like
Got you.
psychological stuff in
Okay,
there that
got you.
I'm playing around with your subconscious just a little bit.
Hey, that's the extra layer of immersion, that most people might not pick up on, So
I'm hoping
I
people don't pick up on it or else it won't work. That's what it's subliminal messaging for a reason.
I completely understand. I love stuff like that. I don't want to keep you too much longer,
No worries, man.
but
This is fun.
what was probably I probably already know, but what was like the most challenging part of everything for you? Was it like staying motivated? Was it, finding someone to possibly pick up the game, or doing
I
everything
mean,
alone?
it fluctuated. Like definitely doing things alone presented its own challenges. But I also am very, very aware that I'm extraordinarily difficult to work with, especially in creative endeavors. I can be an enormous control freak. And I tend to hold people to a higher standard than sometimes even if I hold myself to.
Gotcha.
So it that I dug my own grave with that one. It's just it is what it is. I fully accept that I do need to work alone for a lot of stuff, so it all worked out.
Yeah.
But like motivation, especially coming towards the end, it's like, okay, the finish line is right there, but like I just gotta push just a little bit more. Like it,
Yeah.
there's still little things to fix. There's still little things I gotta do. It's just like, but it's like it feels done, and I know that it's like it's right there.
Right.
So just keeping myself kind of like there's 2 weeks left. I still gotta just keep going, keep pushing, and then eventually it can be released and I can kind of take a step back. That being
Okay.
said, also like marketing, social media, I don't like social media. Like coming up with new posts and like it have some sort of like clever caption and then it's like you got to be on and like like I wish that I could just like post something once in a while and forget about it and like that's it. But you got to engage and you got to do this and that and the other thing. Like I love doing this, like sitting down and talking to people and like this is my kind of thing. But like thinking of some fucking screenshot that isn't like the other screenshots that I took, for the past 3 years to share with everybody. It's, like
No, I understand. Truly.
the motivation for that. Now that if I can stay motivated for my game, then yeah, I should be able to do social media, but Jesus, man, like, and I mean, even social media itself, like, not to be, but you've been on those
Oh yeah,
websites. You know
it's a
what it can be like
grind.
out there.
It's a
Fuck,
grind.
man.
It's a wild, wild west out
People can
there.
just be mean, you know? Like it can really hurt your
Truly.
feelings
Truly.
sometimes.
Like, what did I do to you? On the opposite side of that, what's your favorite part about the game? What are your favorite parts that you want to share? I know you don't want to spoil or give too much away, but like, what's your favorite part? What's been the biggest, maybe the biggest hurdle you had that you got over? You like, I did
I
it.
think like the battle system was always something that I wanted to do and I'd never done before. Like I've been making games for 20 years as like a hobby, but it was always like platformers or like little spaceship shooter games or whatever, just like little arcadey kind of style things. And I never really because I knew how much work would be required for an RPG. So especially a turn-based RPG, it was that was I just never because I knew it was that was once I committed to that, that's a time sink I would never ever complete unless I just dove in. So I think the combat system was a big challenge because I'd never done it before. And figuring out the turn-based mechanics and setting up the alarms for, when you do this, this text is going to play, and then the animation, and then this, and then check the status effects and all the calculations and everything like that. Like figuring all of that out was such an enormous challenge, and I'm still grappling with things. Every once in a while, a little bug will appear in my code. They're a lot less frequent now, I'll tell you that. if you find one, let me know because I'm losing. I can't find any anymore. But the like once I kind of got that in place, and now and then just like it's started turning into the polish and the refining, and now it's like playing through it. It just feels so good, and I've got the there's an endless battle mode that you can unlock. A little bit of more than it's getting towards the second half of the game. There's a town where you can go and unlock an endless battle mode. And I love to just sit down and mix and match the different weapons and the different skills and everything and just find like the perfect combo and the perfect move set. Like I found stuff where it's like you I can't. I should leave it for people to discover because like there's some really overpowered stuff you could do. Like there's a lot of fun stuff you could do with this game. And that's kind of my favorite part at this point is just like I like finding my own secrets that I didn't even know were there. And some of the like once I'm done the game and I can like sit back, take a couple days away and then just revisit it and kind of play it with fresh eyes without having been totally immersed in it. It's actually you're gonna call me crazy, but one thing that I wanted to do with this game was use it as a tool for sort of like a personal introspective reflection. Because I put so much of myself and my own experiences, situations, I may have exaggerated things a little bit to make it a little bit more entertaining, obviously, you know, but the core of the story is there's some things that definitely are parallel to real life and real feelings. And there's that whole, you know, boys don't cry kind of thing. Also, therapy's fucking expensive, so I figured I'll make a game. I will let my subconscious kind of run wild and not think too hard on what kind of meanings I'm trying to ascribe to it. And then I'm going to go back and actually like sit down and play and try to look at it from a self-development point of view and pick my own brain apart and then be like, okay, so, oh, that's what's wrong with me. Or like, you know, like that sort of thing.
I got you. No, I mean, that's just part of being a creative, you know, that your mind gets to going and you put it down on your canvas, whatever type of canvas it may be, and sometimes you take a step back and look at it, you're like, oh, wow.
What's going to be really interesting is coming back to play it after like 5, 10 years and then be like, holy shit, I was crazy. There was something wrong with me back then.
You did say you had COVID at one point, so you had different elements working against you or working with you, however you want to see
Who knows? We'll see what the reviews say after the game's over.
it. I want but before we get out of here, do you have anything you want to share, you want to promote? Oh, before I get to that, tell me about Vertiblock and 99 Gorillas.
You've been on my itch page. All right, all right. You've done your research. So those were actually Game Jam games that I did. Vertiblock was for something. I forget what it was, but it was like a 2 week game jam. And I'd always wanted to make there was a game on the Nintendo DS called Meteos. I think that's how you pronounce it, but it's moving blocks up and down, and you have to align them in groups of three or more, and then they rocket up and then they start falling back down. And you have to keep lining up the blocks to like combo them together and then shoot the blocks off the screen, and then they fly at your opponent. And then you have to fill up their screen with all of your blocks, and then whoever has the blocks reach the top is the one that loses. So I wanted to make a game that was like that. And Vertiblock was, I was like, I got 2 weeks, so I'm going to do this game jam thing. I'll just make it happen. And I actually had plans with Vertiblock to expand it to a full game. But then the RPG allegory came along and I kind of went with that.
That makes
And then
sense.
99 Gorillas, that was the low res jam, and they had a couple themes to choose from, and the one theme was guerrilla warfare, but they spelt gorilla like the gorilla. Like guerrilla warfare is G, what is it, GEU or GUE or
Yeah,
something like
something like
that.
that.
But they spelt it gorilla like the animal, so I was like, all right, guerrilla warfare it is. And it's like, oh shit, the gorillas are attacking. We gotta kill them. And then I think I'd been watching those Easter egg in video game videos or something like that. And it was there was something with the voice, the guy from Halo, where he's like, double kill. And I was like, I gotta do that and put that in the game. So it's like, yeah. what was it? 99 gorillas remaining.
Mm.
And you just got to kill all the gorillas. And then you get upgrades, and then you can kill more gorillas. It's just a stupid idea, but it was for like a quick 2 week game
Yeah,
jam.
I got
Ton
you.
of fun though. I love that.
I
And then there
got
was,
you.
and then I also, you're on my itch page, Snakes and Ladders. I also
Yeah.
made a Snakes and Ladders. That was actually back when I was very, very young. My dad went back to school to learn programming. And I was like, oh, programming, that means you can make video games. And he was like, well, no, but okay, let's give it a try. And that actually kind of planted the seed in my mind that I could do that one
Right.
day. And now here I am. So that unfinished game, because I was like five or something like that
Yeah.
when he did that. So like programming way, way over my head at that back in the 90s. So that never went anywhere. I got bored and forgot about it until years and years later. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna make this Snakes and Ladders game
Got
that
you.
my dad and I were gonna make. And I made it for him for his 60th birthday,
All right.
and put that up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh no, that's cool. I like that. But is there anything you want to share before we get out of here? Social medias or
Yeah, follow me on social media. It's underscore AVG underscore Joe. It's Average Joe on social media. Also, Edge of Allegoria on everywhere. I'm much more active on my Average Joe pages. I'm on Instagram, Twitter. I refuse to call it X. TikTok, YouTube, Blue Sky, Threads, wherever, man. Like anywhere that you are, I probably am. All, of course, absolutely, please wish list The Edge of Allegoria. It's coming out on December 4th, so at the time of recording, in about 2 weeks. And then yeah, check out The Edge of Allegoria when it releases on December 4th.
All right, all right. And make sure you wish list, make sure you get it, and leave a review. Let them know how you did. It's
Yeah.
99.9% one person. From top to bottom, 99.9% one
99.9%.
person.
A shout out to my Discord. Like, those guys are fantastic.
Out
It's
to the
amazing.
Discord as well.
Sometimes they're like, hey, you should add this. And I'm like, hey, you should shut the fuck up because you're giving me too much work to do. But then I like grumble and I added it. And I was like, okay, you were right. This is pretty fucking good, I guess.
Well, Joe, you can always come on whenever you want to. Don't let this
I
be your
appreciate
last
it, man.
time coming
No, no,
on,
no.
Joe.
I'll be on when I got DLC. I gotta
Hey,
promote.
hey. You're the first guest. You're on the first episode. This is
I
history in
appreciate
the
it, man.
making.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna come back sometime later and be like, he did that. But
You
thank you
know
for
me.
coming. Thank you for giving us some of your time, and look forward to seeing you again and plan Edge of Allegory. Is it Allegory or it's
Allegoria,
Allegory?
yeah,
Okay.
you got it right,
All
man.
right, we look forward to playing the Edge of Allegoria and seeing what else you create in the future.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, y'all. See you later, everybody. Be blessed and prosperous. Have a great night, and we will catch you all next time.